Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one solemn page of Talmud each day. And on today's page, Bava Metzia 41, we learn a lesson about intent. Here goes. The Gemara asks, with regard to what do Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Natan disagree? The Gemara answers, it is with regard to whether misappropriation requires loss. Is one liable for misappropriation only if it results in depreciation of the deposit? Or is one liable for misappropriation even if he only intended to damage the deposit but there was no depreciation? The one who says that the Bailey took the barrel in order to rob the owner of it holds that misappropriation requires loss. And the one who says that the Bailey took the barrel in order to misappropriate it holds that misappropriation does not require loss. What are the rabbis teaching us here? A searing lesson, it turns out, that you can be guilty of misappropriation even if you did not cause someone any real damage. On the surface, that sounds a touch absurd. When we speak about misappropriation of funds, for example, we're talking about embezzling, or to use a less fancy term, stealing. What else would misappropriation even mean if not taking something that doesn't belong to you and claiming it as your own? And if that's the definition, doesn't it by default involve some measure of loss to the aggrieved party? Not necessarily, say the rabbis. They give an example of a hapless shepherd who has his flock visited by a wolf and then a lion. If these beasties come and snack on a few sheep, it's not really the shepherd's fault. A hungry lion charging out of nowhere qualifies as circumstances beyond anyone's control. But if the shepherd, say, got tired and lazy and decided to place his little satchel on one of the sheep, and then the sheep was devoured, well, guilty as charged, because he had used the sheep in a way that it wasn't supposed to be used. He had misappropriated it by placing an undue burden on it, and that, not the fact that it was eventually eaten, is the deciding factor here. Or, put simply, sometimes you could do wrong even without causing any real damage. Maybe I'm a touch sensitive, because it's now been exactly 6 months since the horrible massacre on October 7th, and because we still have 134 hostages, including 5 American citizens held by Hamas. But this insight that you can misappropriate even without stealing a cent or causing any real financial damage made me think of McDonald's. No, it's not my hanger talking. I keep kosher, so Mickey D's, alas, offers very little for me to enjoy. But this month, the company acted in a way that, to my untrained Talmudic and legal mind, made me think of misappropriation. The story begins, sadly, on October 7th. Almost immediately after the attack, the man who holds McDonald's franchise in Israel, Omri Padan, decided to do his part and help the war effort by donating McDonald's meals to soldiers fighting in Gaza and offering soldiers deep discounts on any visit to any McDonald's restaurant. Almost immediately, chaos ensued. Here is CNBC's report. In Lebanon, protesters attacked and vandalized local McDonald's restaurants, and crowds of pro-Palestinian protesters in London surrounded some of the chain's branches, shouting, "Shame on you!" With the violence came a side order of boycotting, causing the fast food giant considerable damages throughout the Arab world. And so, McDonald's did something it very rarely does. It snatched back all 225 restaurants in Israel from Padan. Was this theft? Absolutely not. Padan was paid in full for his holdings, and he agreed to sell. And though the specific details of the deal were not made available because it was hatched, signed, and sealed in just a few weeks, which is also very rare for a transaction of this magnitude, it's likely to assume that Padan was fairly compensated for his holdings. In other words, no loss was incurred. But was it misappropriation? If you consider the straight, semantic definition, probably not. If we work with the rabbinic one instead, however, things aren't so clear. The agreement between the burger giant and its Israeli franchise holder was simple. Padan was entitled to sell hamburgers to the local market and run his business in ways that appealed to his customers. And if you've ever visited a McDonald's in Israel, and I have because, hey, it's the only place in the world where you can get a kosher Big Mac, you know that he's done a very, very, very good job at running a really successful, great business. And like every other Israeli business after October 7, he rushed to play his small part in helping out during what Israelis understood rightfully to be a war of survival. And yet, McDonald's chose to act in an unusual way and placed undue burdens on Padan and his business, leaving him no choice but to sell. And so, here we are, with the rabbi's ancient warning ringing in our ears. To keep business free and thriving, it's not enough to look at bottom lines of profit and loss. We have to pay attention to ethical conduct, to ulterior motives, to people in positions of power and responsibility misappropriating, behaving in a way that is not appropriate at our expense. Will McDonald's remain open in Israel? Probably. But I'm not lining up for a kosher quarter pounder anytime soon. Give me a good pita with falafel and hummus any day. This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life. Surprisingly modern advice from a very old book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butting, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.